Bible's with you. I suppose you could switch them off, or do the old way and turn to a portion of scripture in Psalms again. Psalm 27. Great to be with you again. Some new faces. So those of you that we've never met, obviously my name's Aaron, and I'm from County Durham, and it's been like nearly 2 years since I was here last. As you can tell, I'm aged. I wasn't sure how many of you recognize me. Obviously you've done well. This beard just, it's grown on me actually. It started in November, but it wasn't part of the November thing, because I already had one of these attached, so I just didn't shave for a week, and then I usually always shave by the time I go to church, and then I decided not to, and so not a lot of people were happy, my wife particularly. She just goes to marry to an old man, anyway, it's actually tidy. It's just been tidied up because it was a bit bushy and messy. Anyway, enough about that. It's great to be here again. And great praise and worship, guys. Thank you for leading us there. And I've heard a little bits and pieces about what's going on here. And I just want to tell you that we're really believing God for great things for you as a fellowship, Graham, and the leadership here. It's just great to see so many young people, godly young men, godly young women. Can I just say that the church is the greatest thing that is happening on the face of the earth? That's a good place to say amen. I'll say it again. The church is the greatest thing that is happening on the face of the earth. Amen. You won't read that in the newspaper. You won't hear that on the television. But it is the only thing that will bring lasting change in people's lives. It is the only thing that will produce eternal fruit in people's lives. It is the answer to the problems in the world, because we have the message of Jesus Christ. Amen? And Jesus said 2,000 years ago, I don't care what the professionals and the experts and all the researchers say about the church today. Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. All that hell has to offer is not enough to stop the church that Jesus is building. I believe the church of God is awesome. Jacob put his head on a stone and he dreamt about this ladder. And when he woke up the next day, he said, this is none other than the house of God. And this place is awesome. And just as it was for Jacob those thousands of years ago, I want to tell you that the house of God, wherever we are, and whatever kind of building, and I'm believing God for your building, amen, the house of God is awesome. And it's the greatest privilege and honor for us to be part of a church that Jesus is building, in whatever capacity. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Nothing is too small, nothing is insignificant when it comes to the cause of Christ and his kingdom and the church that he's building. Amen? So you need to be excited about church. We do not have this kind of attitude that it's some kind of duty or obligation. It is the greatest privilege that we have. Amen? For about 19 years, I was in full-time itinerant ministry. And now, in a few months, actually, next month we'll have our fourth anniversary as a church over in Teesside. And it is the best job in the world. Amen. Speaking to potential in people's lives, speaking to the God-given grace and gifting that he has in people's lives, and allowing them to live lives that will cause the will of God to come to pass. What a privilege and an honor. Amen. And only heaven will really record and tell us how blessed we are tonight to be this place, to be the house of God. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 27. And for the last few years, when I was in the traveling ministry, we had a number of people that were helping us and supporting us financially in ministry. Because we didn't work for any organization or have any church backing us. We were in full-time ministry and living by faith. And a number of people had it on their hearts to help us. So every now and then I would just write to them. At the beginning of the year, I would often write to them a scripture from Psalm 65, I think it's verse 11, which says, "You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance." When we started our church, we started in 2011, at the turn of the year in 2011-2012, I just felt that God had that as a theme for us as a church. That verse of scripture, Psalm 65, verse 11, "You crown the year with your goodness." So we just spent a great part of the year just talking about God's goodness and His favor on our lives. And when we went to 2013, again, I'm not looking for anything, just reading my Bible regularly, studying my Bible, which is what I'm called to do. And I felt like one of the portions that I read virtually every day of Psalm 23, that was a scripture that God wanted us to focus on. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And 2013, it was so interesting. It was actually here, I think, speaking to Simon. He's not here, is that right? It was like 6 months into speaking Psalm 23 that I saw one of the things that I've been speaking this for 6 months and I've never seen this, because the theme was verse 20 of chapter 13 of Hebrews, which talks about Jesus being the great shepherd of the sheep and the covenant that we have. Then stepping over into 2014, again, I'm not looking, but just open to the Lord God. Is there anything you want to say to the people through me? And Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And then again, into this year. Actually, it happened not around the turn of the year, but several months earlier, towards the late summer. I was just reading Psalm 27, and I just felt this is the theme that God wants us to have for this year. And I just want to share that with you. Is that okay with you this evening? Just to share what God has for us. Psalm 27, I've got the New King James translation. It reads like this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" We'll read the whole psalm. It goes on to say, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me over to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart. I think the King James translation says, I would have fainted unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. How many of you think that's a good word? What I really felt that the Lord wanted me to share and to share with you this evening, it comes from verse 1. It begins with, the Lord is my light and my salvation. You know, I don't really know what 2014 may have thrown into your life, what kind of shadow it may have cast over your life, or you think it may have cast the shadow of your future, your aspirations, or your hopes. But I want you to know that in the face of that shadow, in the face of the darkness that you might be experiencing, the Lord is your light. Amen? The Lord is your light. And I think that's actually a good thing to say. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why don't we just say that together, shall we? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Let's say it again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Now, it may be that there is something that weighs heavily on your heart and on your mind. And it is a shadow. It is a heaviness. It feels like a burden. I want you, with that in your mind, to say boldly once again, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Amen. You know, friends, we've always got to have a comeback with what life throws at us. You've got to have a faith response to that. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And then this part is what I really want you to grasp, and it's what the Lord wanted us to grasp. The Lord is the strength of my life. Why don't we say that again? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the strength of my life. I want you to know that the results and the fruit of 2015 is not solely dependent upon your personal brilliance. Amen? It's not solely dependent upon your brilliance, your efforts. The Lord is the strength of your life. God wants you to know His strength in your life. I want to tell you this, friends. You're stronger than you think you are. Amen? You're stronger than you think you are. I made a statement to my church a few months back, actually last year. And it kind of sounded a little bit cocky, a little bit arrogant. But I'll explain it afterwards. I said to them, I know many of you better than you know yourselves. Now, how arrogant is that? I know many of you better than you know yourselves. You see, when you think of yourself, you see yourself in the context of your circumstances. You may be going through a trial at the time, and so you see yourself in that, the way that you're affected, if it's a burden to you, the heaviness that it brings to you, that's how you see yourself, that's how you read yourself. You see yourself, you know yourself in the context of your past. You know yourself out of your weaknesses, or based on your weaknesses. You know yourself based on your failures and the disappointments that you've experienced. But one of the things I've learned to know about myself and the people that God brings into my life is to know them in Christ Jesus. And you look a lot better in Christ than you do any other way. You're stronger in Christ than you are in yourself. Amen? You're a lot better in Christ. You're a lot more well off in Christ than you are any other way. And in Christ, because God is the strength of your life, you are stronger than you think you are. And this is David's bold declaration of what God means to him. He knows that he is not on his own. He knows that God will not leave him, God will not forsake him. In fact, over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, this verse is referred to. And in verse 5 it says, "For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And verse 6 says, "So that we may boldly and confidently say, the Lord is my helper." And that's a reference to verse 1 in Psalm 27. "We may boldly and confidently say," notice that, "boldly and confidently say, the Lord is my helper," or "the Lord is my strength. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Friends, from the very beginning of his relationship with God, God has wanted us to know him as a strength in our life. He wants us to live in his strength. He wants us to walk in his strength. He wants us to know that he will help us, that he will enable us. Listen to some of the verses that talk about the Lord being our strength. You can follow me in your Bible if you want to, but Psalm 19, and verse 14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." In Psalm 21, verse 1 says, "The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. You've given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. You meet him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you placed upon him. You have made him most blessed forever." I want you to know, friends, that God considers you to be most blessed. Amen? Because you're his people. We are kings and priests unto God. Verse 1, "The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice." Look over in Psalm 28. It says again in verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed." Again and again, the scripture promises that God will be a strength to us. Psalm 29, verse 11 says, "The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." Isaiah in chapter 40, this is perhaps a familiar verse to some, if not all of us. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Has the Lord promised to strengthen us? Has he promised to be there in our time of need? Absolutely. And we can be confident in this, friends. You can be confident that it doesn't matter what's going on the outside, that you have this strength within. If you're facing a challenge, you have this strength to endure the challenge. If you're facing a temptation, you have within you the strength to resist the temptation. The problem with so many of us, we think of ourselves as weak. Paul had this problem, and he recognized, because we all do have strengths and weaknesses, but we're not left to our own devices. Paul had this experience, and he described it in Corinthians when he said there was this messenger from Satan sent to buffet him. And basically what was happening is every place that Paul went, trouble would start. And people would persecute him. And they would persecute him with more than just harsh words. They would stone him, they would beat him, they would whip him. He would be in prison. And he said, 3 times I asked God to take this thing away from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I want to tell you, friends, that when you feel your weakest, that's the time you need to say the most, the Lord is the strength of my life. When it looks like the darkest hour, that's when you need to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Amen. Did you notice in Psalm 27 that David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So he has this strength. He has this light. And then the next thing he talks about is when the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. So you have this strength not because everything is perfect. Amen? One of the things that I say frequently is the trouble with so many Christians is they've got all the faith in the world until they need it. Isn't that right? I'm strong until I face a challenge. I love everybody until I meet them. The Lord is the strength of your life. That doesn't mean you won't have opposition. That doesn't mean you won't have challenges. That doesn't mean you won't feel weak. The Lord is the strength of your life when you feel the weakest. God is the master at taking something small and insignificant and just doing something incredible with it. Amen? He took a little boy's packed lunch. Jesus did. And fed 5,000 men plus the women and children. I mean, theologians tell us they had big loaves in those days. And I guess the guy had been wailing that morning, I don't know. But no, it was just his packed lunch, wasn't it? God took something small, weak, and insignificant. I mean, what is that amongst so many? But God put his blessing and his favor and his strength into that and fed a multitude. God is a master at taking something small and doing something great with it. And he is the master at taking someone weak. David was almost like despised in his family. Wasn't even invited when Samuel was going to anoint one of the sons to be king. Just completely overlooked and disregarded. But God took it and made him a great king. And a warrior. God is the master taking the small and the weak. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, where are the mighty amongst you? Where are the noble? God has chosen the weak things. Amen? Because that's when he gets the glory. And we need to believe that there is a strength in us that is beyond our own strength. There is a resilience, there is a tenacity, there is a faith, there is a love in us that is greater than ourselves, because it comes from God. Amen? Because it comes from God. Let me read this verse again in Isaiah 41. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I think we all know, remember Isaiah 40. I just overlooked this one, but it says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Over in the New Testament, do you remember that Jesus promised the disciples the Holy Spirit? And he said, if I don't leave you, the Comforter will not come. And the Greek word translated Comforter is the word parakletos. And in the Greek, it has actually a sevenfold meaning. And I think the Amplified translation brings out the sevenfold meaning, and it means comforter, it means counselor, it means helper, intercessor, advocate, standby, and strengthener. The Holy Spirit, who is present within each and every single one of us, is our strengthener. And he will strengthen you for every day. He will strengthen you for every situation. He will strengthen you for every challenge that you face. Paul prayed for the Ephesians. And he prayed for the Colossians as well. In Ephesians, he prayed that they might be strengthened with might by God's Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Your capacity is incredible. When you begin to see yourself as God sees you. He prayed for the Colossians that they would be strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power. I want you to know, friends, that again and again, the scripture is telling us that God will strengthen us and he will be the strength of our life, that you have strength that is beyond that which you have in yourself. There is a strength in you that God has given to you. Now, let's understand that this strength doesn't always look like we think it should look. If I had all of God's power, if I had all of that strength, Christmas would be completely different. There would be no babe in a manger. If I had all of that power, if I had all of that strength, I'd have probably made it just dark for days just to get everybody's attention. And then I'd have pierced that darkness with brilliant lights. And then God, you know, with a host of angels, just completely removed Satan off the planet. But what did God do? With all that strength, with all that power, what did he do? He sent a helpless little babe that needed to be nursed, that needed to be cared for, that actually had to flee to another country like a refugee, seeking asylum for his own safety, and then came back. But that little babe grew to become the greatest of all men. But then, like we've already remembered, he was killed. And not a noble death, the death of the worst criminal. That doesn't look like strength to me. But this is God's strength that we're talking about. And that death actually won the greatest victory that has ever been won. Jesus was able, with his blood, to redeem lost humanity. God's strength doesn't look like our strength. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says, wisdom is strength to the wise, more than 10 rulers. You see, in the world, to be strong, it's almost in your face strength. But I'll tell you what God's strength looks like. It looks like forgiveness. It looks like believing against all the odds. It looks like having hope in what seems like a hopeless situation. That's what God's strength looks like. Loving and forgiving. You know, people have said to me, if you keep on forgiving them, they'll think you're weak. People feel like they get strength out of negative things. You know, some people feel that they get strength out of anger. Isn't that right? People feel like they position themselves in a place of strength, control, because of anger. People get strength out of making you feel guilty. People get strength out of condemning the next person. This is not what God's strength looks like. Strength is forgiving. Amen? Forgiveness is strength. Let me just tell you this, friends. Anyone can hold a grudge. Anyone can harbor unforgiveness. Is that right? Anyone can be fearful. Anyone can doubt. You're really quiet this evening. Anyone can do those things. Anyone can put the next person down. It takes strength to forgive. It takes strength to say, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. It takes strength to say, I still believe in you. I forgive you. I'll give you another chance. It takes strength. And that kind of strength is not natural human strength. That's strength that comes from God. Amen? Now don't misunderstand me. As Christians, we need to know that there's strength in us. Amen? That we have this love, that we have this capacity to forgive, that we have this capacity to believe. If you can believe, Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. There's no condition that God cannot meet or situation that he cannot resolve. Nothing is impossible with God, and we just need to connect with him by believing. So, yeah, our greatest strength does come from within because of the connection that we have with God, strength that he gives us, the love that is shed abroad in our hearts, and the faith that he gives to us and that comes out of the Word, and the vision that he can give us for our life to overcome obstacles. But he will strengthen us in many areas. I'm thinking now about the layman at the Gate Beautiful, that he had been there for over 40 years. He had been unable to walk since he was born. And Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet. And the scripture says, immediately his legs and his ankle bones received strength. God will strengthen our bodies. Amen? God will strengthen our bodies. He will strengthen our minds. And I believe we can... We can believe for all these things. The greatest strength that you have is inside of you, in your spirit. There's a verse in Proverbs which says, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in pain and in trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? Notice it didn't say that if you have a strong spirit, you won't have trouble. I think basically we all understand that all you have to do is be alive on planet Earth and there's trouble around. Isn't that right? That's not being negative. That's just the way it is on the Earth. Jesus said in the world, you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And it's the strong spirit that sustains us in times of trouble and in difficulty. And God will strengthen each and every one of us. Now I want to leave this thought with you. That God strengthens us for a purpose. He helps us for a purpose. And if you want to experience God's strength in your life, there is something that you have to do. There is a part that you have to play. Because the same word translated strengthener I mentioned in the New Testament means helper. A helper is not a substitute. He is one that comes alongside and helps. So there's something that you have to do that God can help you with. I think a lot of us, and I'm generalizing there, a lot of Christians have thought about God's incredible power and God's sovereignty and thought, if God wants something to happen, it will happen. And if it doesn't happen, then we just say, well, it wasn't meant to be. But sometimes God wants us to make a stand. Sometimes God wants us just to press in. Sometimes God wants us to hold fast. Sometimes he just wants us to refuse to let go. Never take no for an answer. So we have to realize that a lot of the times there's something that we have to do in order to experience God's strength. Amen? Now see, a lot of people don't like that. Because remember the man who came to Jesus because of his sick son? Basically, he just threw the ball and Jesus got to him. Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion and help us. Well, we know Jesus could do things. We knew he had compassion and we knew he could help. And we would like to think, the man would like to think that's the end of the story. But Jesus said, it's not just a matter of what I can do. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Can you see how that Jesus is trying to get the man to do something so that Jesus can help him and strengthen him? And so he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe my heart, but my mind is seeing all these and remembering all these things. Help me. And so Jesus was able to help him. But if we want God to strengthen us, we have to do something. There is a part that we have to play. Let me just leave you with four quick thoughts. Number one, we have to believe. We have to believe. We simply have to believe. I think that God is more tolerant of unbelief than he actually is. If you read through Jesus' ministry in the Gospels, one of the things I noticed is that he was never so frustrated as when people refused to believe. Actually, this incident with the man and his son, Jesus said things like this, you faithless generation, how long do I have to put up with you? That sounds like he was frustrated. He said to Peter, how is it you have no faith? Why did you doubt? Would you agree with me that God has never lied? Would you agree with me there? That God has never told a lie. Yet how many Christians doubt what he says? Would you agree with me that Satan is the father of lies? Yeah. Yet how many Christians believe what he says? God has never lied, and Christians doubt what he says. Satan is the father of lies, and never tells the truth, yet people believe what he says. We have to change this. We have to believe God. We have to believe his word. Tonight we have to believe the Lord is the strength of our life. Amen. Secondly, I would say we have to love and we have to forgive. Really, unforgiveness is not an option. We disconnect ourselves from what believing God can do. Jesus, immediately after talking about prayer, said, and forgive if you have anything against anyone. Unforgiveness does not help. Unforgiveness is a burden that you cannot bear, that will rob you of your peace, rob you of the long life that God has for you, rob you of your health. We have to love and we have to forgive. And God will help us and God will strengthen us. We have to believe and God will help us and God will strengthen us. We have to, thirdly, we have to control our minds. We cannot allow ourselves to entertain every thought that comes to us. You know, the Bible actually says, whatever things are true and honest and just and lovely, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. What that tells me is that I can determine, by the grace of God, determine what I set my mind on. You can. It talks about thoughts that are contrary. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds and casting down imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. David prayed to me, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. We have to set ourselves up. We have to position ourselves to believe, to love and forgive, and to discipline our minds. All of us have thoughts that come to us that are contradictory. Even Jesus had thoughts that came to him, like to turn the stone to bread and to jump off the temple. But he knew where the thoughts came from and he dealt with them. And he had a faith response with the word of God. That's what we have to do. And lastly, we have to discipline our flesh. We have to control, if you like. Paul said, present your body a living sacrifice. We cannot spend every feeling, every physical desire, every passion. We cannot spend every desire and physical feeling that we have and be strong in the Lord. Paul said to the Corinthians, I keep my body under control. He didn't say God did it for him. He said, I did it. I keep my body under control and I make it my slave. My body doesn't control me. I control it. Amen. I believe this is how God wants us to be strong in him. To exercise this discipline. We're called to be disciples anyway. But I believe in doing this, we will experience strength that God has for us. I believe in doing this that we'll step into a dimension that God has available to all of us. But we can't do it in our own strength. We can only do it in his. I want to tell you again in closing. You are stronger than you think you are. The Lord is, present tense, right now, the strength of your life. But we know so many Christians who seem to be so weak. Isn't that right? We know so many Christians who just seem to have no resistance, no tenacity, no stickability. When God has made himself freely available, completely available, to be the strength of our life. As you read through the scriptures this year, I want you to look out for scriptures like that, where God promises to be your strength. I want you to begin to see yourself as God sees you in Christ Jesus. So I want you to look for yourself. Look, this is a mirror. Just learn to see how God sees you. Learn that God is your Father. Learn that you are in Christ. Learn that the Holy Spirit is in you. And become strong, become convinced, become convicted that these things are true. They are how God sees you. That is your present tense reality and identity in Christ. And let's just be strong in the Lord. The scripture never asks us to try to be strong. The scripture simply says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And friends, you need to do it for your sake. You need to do it for the sake of the people that are being influenced by your life. And they are. People are being influenced by your life. You need to do it because there's a plan and purpose that God has for you that you need to press into. And you have to be strong to lay hold of. Amen. Let's bow our heads and have a moment of prayer. Father, we just want to say thank you for this time together. We want to say thank you for your hand upon our lives, that it is for good and not for evil. We want to say thank you because you have promised and made yourself and committed yourself to be in the strength of our life. I pray for each one in this room, that you will help them to make that shift in their thinking. They're not just how they see themselves. They are not just how other people see them. They really are how you see them. I pray that they might lay hold of this truth. I pray that they will have a strong conviction that this is right. And I pray that they will be strong in the name of Jesus.